This is How to Create an Easy-to-Manage Productivity System. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 167. As always, it is an absolute pleasure to have you listening today. I really do appreciate your time and your attention because I know how valuable those things are. And today, I'm actually doing a bit of a rerun. This is a kind of republishing of an old blog post that I published a couple of years ago now. It was actually back in 2018, just checking the date here. Yeah. August 2018, so a couple of years ago now, and at the time this was a popular post that I thought would be worth revisiting. I sometimes like to go back over old posts and see how have my thoughts, how has my stance on a topic changed. And so, and also that I think the content here, the idea, the takeaway is still a good reminder to keep having. And so what I'm talking about today is how to create an easy-to-manage productivity system, and really the takeaway is to not overlap your different productivity tools and apps. So before we get into this, if you do want to go and read the corresponding blog post or get access to some of the links and show notes for this episode, you'll find that at paulminers.com/167. So the sort of motivation or the reason for initially writing the post a few years ago came about because I often get approached by readers or clients who are having trouble maintaining an effective productivity system. And I get asked about how and when to use different tools like email and notes and your task list and documents and your calendar, and whether it's okay to use, for example, say your email as a to-do list, or to use notes for sorting documents and things like that. And what is the purpose of each tool? Because you can, as you probably know, you can use different tools for different types of things, and they often overlap. The problem I see people make is that they blur the boundaries between when to use these different tools, like, for example, notes and tasks, or email and your calendar. And it results in a situation where you don't know which app to turn to when you're trying to retrieve information. So for example, if you're reviewing maybe a meeting after it's finished, it gets confusing when maybe some of your notes are kept in Evernote or Apple Notes and other notes are in your task list or some are in a notebook. So we want to kind of have clear rules for when to use each tool. So wouldn't it be great if you had a simple way of managing everything you're doing and all the information that goes with it? That's kind of what we're trying to do in building like a productivity system and rules for how you use each tool. And the key is to creating the system is to create what I call hard edges between the different tools. This is a philosophy behind my own productivity system, and I talk about this more in my productivity blueprint, which you can download for free on my website. I've actually got a blueprint you can download and a video that teaches you how to use it. So with this in mind, let's define a clear and singular purpose for each of your productivity apps. So let's talk about the main apps that most people will use. So number one, there is email. Email is used for communication. It's probably the thing that most people's like primary source of inputs. You know, we check our inbox and it's the source of all our kind of work usually, whether that's tasks or appointments. But that doesn't mean all your work has to be managed in email. Instead, your email should be dealt with using like the appropriate app. So for example, let's say you get a meeting invite. The invite itself would be added to your calendar. And maybe if it's an actionable email, it might be converted into a task as well. So different emails are going to be treated in different ways. And once you've responded to or actioned an email, remember to archive the message. This is really important. And most people still don't do this. It amazes me. Instead, their email just sits in their inbox and it just adds to the mess and makes it much harder to differentiate the new unactioned email. So just archiving your email when it's done is really important as well. Archiving means it's not gone, it's just out of your main inbox, and it makes it really easy to spot and manage the new ones coming in. So that's email. Its sole purpose is for communication. Don't use it for managing your tasks and your work. And that's actually the next one. Number two is your task manager. Most people will have some kind of task management system. And really its purpose is to capture all the actionable things that you need to do. And that keyword there, actionable, is really important. So instead of trying to remember everything or leaving emails in your inbox to deal with later, anything you need to do, no matter how small, in my opinion, should be recorded in your task manager. And this makes it easier to prioritize and plan your time. And when you're deciding whether to put something on your to-do list, it really just needs to pass a simple check, which is to ask yourself, is this actionable? And if not, don't add it to your task list. And I often see people kind of misuse their task lists. This is something I talked about recently on the podcast. For example, by putting things like articles and books they'd like to read on their to-do list. And while these things are sort of actionable, they're better managed in a different system, which we're going to come to later. Your task list really should be the important things you need to do, and it's more effective if it's not cluttered with like reading lists and articles and things like that. So that's email, that's your task list, which is everything you need to do. Then you have your calendar, which is where you really plan your time. Now, most people use their calendar to manage time-sensitive appointments. I'd say that's probably most people will just put like meetings and appointments. That's all they use their calendar for, which is a good start. But the more productive people use their calendars to plan their day using, for example, themes or time blocking their tasks is something I've talked about a lot. And there are links in the show notes on how I do that. And this is where your calendar and your to-do list work together. So, you know, we talked about hard edge before. This is where the two are working together, but they kind of have different purposes. So the difference is that your task manager is for storing all tasks and listing everything you need to do. The calendar is used when you're ready to do the work and you need to plan exactly when you're going to do it and how long it's going to take. So it sort of works in conjunction with your task list. Most people have too many items on their task list on a single day, which does result in most tasks going overdue. And that's why time blocking, as I've talked about many times before, and adding tasks to your calendar, it forces you to assign an amount of time to a task and actually decide when you're going to do it. So you have to be really realistic with your time and actually commit to getting the work done. And that's why I think putting things on your calendar is really important. So this is where we're blurring the lines a little bit, but hopefully you can see how the calendar and the to-do list really work hand in hand pretty closely. Then you have notes. And note apps, like whether it's Evernote or Apple Note or OneNote or Bear or Ulysses, whatever you use, these apps are generally used to capture reference material and information about your work or to do your work as well. So this could be things like capturing meeting notes or whiteboard diagrams, or for doing your work, it might be writing down, like writing a blog post, for example. When I was writing this, I was actually preparing for a productivity presentation, a workshop, and I was using notes to plan like my ideas and the agenda. And when I see people run into issues with note apps is when they use notes as a task list or for storing documents. Notes can blur the line with other tools pretty easily. I always get asked when to put notes into my task manager versus my notes app. And for me, if the information is related to a task or a project, I'll add it to the appropriate task or project in Asana, in my task manager. So for example, like this morning, actually, I was going through my email and a client emailed me and said, here are the questions. This is what I'd like to discuss on our consulting call. And so I copied that from the email. I took it out of the email. I put it into a task that I already had, because I have in Asana tasks for all of my clients. These are the calls we're going to have. And I put that note, those questions, into that task. I could have put it into Apple Notes, which is where I keep my notes. But really, I'm going to look at the task when I talk to the client. So it's more appropriate that I have it there. So there are some times where your task manager may sort of be used for notes. That happens with me a lot. But for me, again, there's that clear differentiation. There's that hard edge. If this note is actionable, it will go into my task manager. If it's not, if it's more just like storing information or jotting down ideas, it will go into my notes. Then we have document storage. So tools like Dropbox, you might have Google Drive or iCloud Drive, should be used to store files and documents for long-term storage purposes. I'll often use my desktop or my downloads folder as a temporary holding place for a file, but if I want to keep something long term, I put it into my iCloud Drive. And again, some note apps or task managers will let you attach files to them. So again, we want to define when to put notes into your task list or a notes app and when it should be put into iCloud Drive. And sometimes it might be both. For example, like I'll upload images or a PDF to a task or a note if it's useful to have it when I'm doing that work. And actually that's a good one, is screenshots. Often I'll just take screenshots and put them on my tasks. And so these may be like temporary files that I don't intend to keep, or I won't need them again after I've done that task. I just kind of put a screenshot on a task, or it's a quick PDF that I'm gonna need. But if I'm not gonna need it long-term, I won't bother storing it. If I do wanna keep the file, like for example, maybe it's like an invoice, I will store it into my proper file storage system in iCloud Drive. So again, we sort of blur the lines a little bit there, but as you can see, I have very clear rules about when to use certain tools. I didn't realize, but that rhymed. And number six, the kind of sixth key pillar tool here I wanted to talk about is your reading list. And this is something I updated from when I wrote this post a while ago. So rather than using your task list as a reading list, I do recommend using a separate tool or system, as I mentioned before. So, and you may even use your notes for this. Actually, this would be a good use for notes. But personally, I like using the reading list that is built into Safari on the Mac and iPhone, just because it's kind of built in, it's really easy. But in the past, I have as well used apps like Pocket and Instapaper, which I've got links to on the show notes, which are both great tools to kind of maintain a list of articles or books or even videos that you want to review later. And I think the key thing with these tools and keeping any kind of list, reading list, is to not have too many things on the list. Otherwise, you do end up with kind of facing decision fatigue, like what shall I read, or just generally feeling too overwhelmed to read anything at all. So I do think it is important to keep your reading lists to a minimum. And if I read an article that I really like, actually last week I received a newsletter from Ryan Holiday, the author, and it was a newsletter, I was like, wow, this is really good. And I just wanted to keep it a little bit more permanent. So I do store a copy of these sort of articles in my notes app. This is where, again, the two tools can kind of blur the line a little bit. But for me, the reading list is used to track what I still need to read, whereas the notes app would be to store articles I've already read that I want to keep and maybe refer back to. And for something to make it into my notes, it has to be a really good article. I'm quite strict on what goes in there. So it's just a nice place I can go back and reference, go back and look at all that old articles and things, really good ones that I've decided to keep. And it's a nice way to keep those kind of more permanent, more special. So the key takeaway here is, obviously, as you can see, with each of these tools that I've discussed, there is not a lot of overlap between them. And when there is, there's very clear rules about how and when I use each tool in my system. To further explain this, let me give you a really simple example. So let's say you receive an email about an upcoming meeting that contains an attached document. So you've received this email. You would create an appointment on your calendar so you know when the meeting's taking place. You might add the meeting agenda to your notes or your task list, which you can later reference during the meeting itself. The file that maybe has been sent could be downloaded and stored in your document storage if you want to keep it, or you could upload it to the file to your notes or your task list if you want to keep it sort of just short term for that meeting. And then finally, the email itself would get archived now that it's been dealt with. You know, you've got the appointment on your calendar and so on. So we have a really clear system for managing that email and using the different tools appropriately. And the actual tools you use don't matter. Whether you use Evernote or Apple Notes, that's sort of not really what I'm talking about today. I mean, they're all very similar. They all have their pros and cons, but that's less important than this idea of defining how and when to use each app and what those hard edges are. So these principles that I've discussed today, these should be a starting point to obviously apply to your own work. So for example, I use other tools like Pipedrive. It's my sales CRM. It's an important part of my productivity system that does need to be factored in here. You might have other systems and tools that you use as well, specific to your industry or to your job. So think about what would those hard edges for those extra tools be. And if you want to learn more about this topic, then check out my personal productivity toolkit. This is my course where I've talked in detail about how I use each of these tools together to create a really clean system for staying more organized. So one more time, thank you very much for tuning in today. I really do appreciate your time and your attention. Let me know what you think as well. I really enjoyed the feedback from this post a few years ago. If you have any thoughts, feedback, comments, head on over to paulminers.com/167 and let me know what you think. All right, take care, have a great week. Thank you for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show, and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is, if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulminers.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.